We've been studying through 1 Corinthians, and 1 Corinthians is a letter that is written to the church at Corinth long years ago, 2,000 years ago. It was a little sea city, if you remember, not little, a big sea city, and had all sorts of trouble in the church as they were young and young in the faith and maturing, and we'll get into a lot of that trouble. But the first problem that the church was having was that they were beginning to be sectarian. And Paul ends up peeling this off and ending up basically talking about him and this guy named Apollos. I didn't tell you much about Apollos, but Apollos was this fiery preacher. Acts 18, if you want to look at the end of it, it says that he was fervent. He knew the word of God inside and out and talked about Jesus properly. And he was fervent in spirit. Well, and he came from northern Africa in Alexandria, where all the smart guys were. So not only, as a matter of fact, if you know about the history of your Bible, the great discovery back in the 60s was the Alexandrian text. And they found that it was the Byzantine text, which was the other one that was most popularly used, was a bunch of scribes from Byzantine area. And it was the most widely dispersed, but the Alexandrians were nerds, and they like kept all their stuff back to the thing, and they were kind of the smart guys. And this is really common in the ancient world. The Egyptians were the ones who built the pharaohs. I mean the pyramids, and they were extraordinarily brilliant architects and engineers, but also just really brilliant guys. And so when the church began to be built, here was this dude from there who was one of the stud preachers of the day. Paul, on the other hand, was from a little coastal city up in Turkey named Tarsus. And so if you can kind of do your map in your head, you know, you have to go all the way around Israel and then go north up to Turkey to get to where Paul was from. And so here and he wasn't a dummy, but he was over and again in the scriptures. And you'll see this in both the Corinthian letters that he was, you know, kind of talked about it at being a little bit he wasn't eloquent. And so you might say that he was more like a country boy preacher, if you will. And then, of course, here's polished Apollos. And so he takes the contrast, because in the first he had mentioned this division being Peter, him, Apollos, Jesus. But he just kind of narrows the contrast down to whether it's, you know, Paul watered and, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered. And then in this passage tonight, it's just going to be him and Apollos again, showing this two contrasting guys and showing the important thing that we learned last week. And what was it? It was primarily this, that all throughout the age, and this is the story of 1 Corinthians, and it's going to be the application to all the problems, but he spends four whole chapters on this first problem, and that is that we forget something. We either want to outsmart God and figure stuff out, or we want to see miraculous signs. And we ended up discovering that the word of the cross is the power of God, and it's the, and that Christ, remember, and so that was in 1:18, if you remember that. And then here's how God planned the whole thing. He said, well, the Jews are going to demand signs and the Greek are going to demand wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so the message of the cross, which is another simple way to say it, is the gospel. That's the message of the cross, that the gospel is what God has done in Christ, saving his people from their sin, namely dying and rising for them. right? And so that message is the message that is the power of God. And it's not just to bring dead people to life. Surely it starts there, but it's to bring everything that's dead in your life to life. And we're going to see all these practical problems that the Corinthians had. And you'll see that he uses this message of the gospel to bring all of the dead stuff to life. So when Brett opens up and says, we're here and we're local missionaries and our primary purpose is to bring the gospel to the hurting people in our city. Well, you can say, well, are we just trying to get them saved? Well, yes, but God needs to save their minds and he needs to save their attitudes and he needs to save their marriages and he needs to save their bank accounts and he needs to save their anxieties and their depressions and all sorts of things. You know, I mean, and the starting place is the gospel, but the gospel applies to all of those places. And we'll see that as we work through the book of Corinthians. And then he comes and says, he makes an appeal to us, and he says, you guys have got to quit elevating the messenger. And we saw that last week where he said, listen, let me tell you that, and I use this utensils analogy, and where there's a fancy spoon, you know, and or a not so fancy spoon or a plastic spoon, and we're always fighting about what spoon to use. But Paul's saying, you guys are totally missing the point. It does not matter what utensil is being used. God provided that utensil so he could get the gospel into your heart. And it's the gospel that matters. It's what's being fed to you that matters, not who's feeding it to you. I was thinking about this water bottle, and I didn't know if Rick was here. Is that Rick right there? No, Rick's not here tonight. But I didn't know if Rick was here. He buys our water. Occasionally Angel does. They're both, Angel's up there. So I could throw Rick, I'll just throw Rick under the bus. And it's like, I love to drink water, but like this particular water bottle is, it's too flimsy and the lid is horrible. I just hate taking the lid off because when you take the lid off, it's splat because this is flimsy, right? So it'll splash the water out. And I'm like an Aquafina guy with the green lid that's nice and tight and the bottle's a little sturdier. And what Paul's saying is, Bobby, are you a nut? It's the water, dude, not the bottle. It's the water, not the bottle. And that's exactly what his point is here. And he literally says, so Paul plants and I water. And then he goes on to say in that next passage, we talked about this last week. And so neither Apollos nor me are anything. So let me tell you what your qualification is. So like Selena came up to me after the service and said, man, that was such a good word. Because, you know, like a teenager might think they're not qualified to tell the gospel to somebody. And I'm like, I told her, I said, Selena, I'm going to say this next week. If you're, as long as you're nothing, you're qualified. So if anybody in here can say, well, I think that I'm at least nothing. Could you raise your hand and say, I'm at least nothing? You're qualified to share the gospel. Because it's not the vessel that shares the gospel. It's the gospel that's the power of God. It's not the messenger. It's the message. And once we get that straight and get ourselves out of the way, we'll realize that people need the gospel. They need the gospel applied to their brokenness. They need the gospel applied to their life, to their sad, broken lives. And even to like our wannabe happy lives. It doesn't matter. We need the gospel applied to it. In every single instance of your brokenness, there is a failure in gospel unbelief. And one of the great things that the two books of Corinthians will do is it will unpack that with some degree of detail. And you're going to see it has everything to do about everything that's in your life. So that was where we had gotten to. And So that was kind of like last week. And so you're qualified because you're nothing. There you go. So I'm nothing. I'm nothing. It matters not that I just sit up here and do it my little way. It doesn't. And if somebody got up here and could barely whisper, it wouldn't matter. And somebody could get up here, and I've heard that some of the best messages I've ever heard from a dude who didn't even know he was giving me a message. He was just telling me about the wonders of how God had rescued him. And that's the point. And so now we're jumping into chapter 4. And then, so Paul has already said, stop it. This is about the gospel. It is not about the purveyor. But then he goes on to say, he shifts one gear and he says, well, there is a certain way that you need to see the purveyor of the gospel, and that's all of you, qualified and sent by the Lord Jesus. I've been sent, and so send I you. And what does he send us to do? To preach the gospel to all the nations. And all your nations, by the way, are right here, because you ain't nowhere else, in case you're wondering. I mean, some of you, you know, but generally speaking, we're right here. And so this is our nation. Well, so, but if you do need to regard us a certain way, if you want to ask how you should regard me and how I should regard you, then here's how. This is how one should regard us: as servants of Jesus, of servants of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, I don't want you to get creeped out by the mysteries of God. The reason he's using the mysteries of God there is that he has been making a case since chapter 1, verse 1, that the wisdom of man can't figure the gospel out. It has to come from God, that man is blind and that they've tried, and the scholar and the debater of the age have tried to figure it out, and they haven't been able to get to God because God designed that the scholar and the debater wouldn't ever get here. He designed that the foolishness of the story about what God has done in Jesus on Calvary, saving his people from their sin, would be the thing that would be both the wisdom and the power of God. And so what happened is that he's saying that I'm telling you that this is how you should regard me: as a servant of Jesus and as a steward of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. So here's what that means. Oh no, I'm just wanting you to, I'll do the servant of Christ, but then, I'm just going to wait, because there's just a couple more verses that'll add a little fun to it. Okay, so I'm going to, he has a parenthetical note that I'm going to get back to, but I'm going to read it. Moreover, it's required of stewards that they be found faithful. But with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. Well, I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. And therefore, don't pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things that are now hidden and will disclose the purposes of the heart. And then each one will receive his commendation from God. I'll get back to that in a second. And then he says this, which is to pick back up where he left off in verse 2. He says, I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos. In other words, I've told you that me and Apollos are nothing, that I plant, Apollos waters, but it's always God who gives the increase, that quit thinking about us. It's not the message, it's not the messenger, it's the message, and all that. And he said, I applaud all that to Paulus and myself for your benefit, brothers, so that you can learn not to think anything about us other than what's written. Which, what's written about us, by the way? You and I. He said, I'm nothing. Well, let's start with that. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm fallen and have a fallen mind, right? I'm going to blow it like everybody's business all the time. And so you'd better not think that I came up with anything. I didn't come up with anything. The gospel was something that was given to me by God, and I'm giving it to you. And he says, so that none of you may be puffed up in favor one against each other. And then he says this, for who sees anything different in you? He's talking about him in a pause, but he said, but it's the same with you. What do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, then why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? Now, let me unpack what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, here's the only thing that I am. Jesus bought me off the slave market, but he didn't buy me off the slave market he bought me off the slave market to be his slave, his bondservant. So it's like, and I'm bondservant means I'm free to be his slave. I choose to be his slave. I want to be his slave. And so Paul says, my identification is simple. I'm Jesus' slave because I want to be, because he bought me and he brought me to life. And I owe my life to him. And he saved me and he rescued me out of the pit. And I'm going to tell the congregation about it. And I'm going to serve him. So that's it. I'm a servant. But here's the other piece, that as a servant, I'm also a steward. And I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. I'm a steward of the gospel. And what does that mean? When he says, then, what do you have that you didn't receive? And if you received it, why do you boast? And so this is what he's saying. He's saying, like, did you make up the gospel? Is it your story? Listen, so let's just start with the gospel. You didn't know the gospel. The gospel came from God to you. And you couldn't even have known it unless he opened up your eyes. The Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. So God has to break through. You must be born again to even see the kingdom of God, Jesus said. So God comes, and by his mercy and through grace, he opens your eyes and he opens your ears and he shows you the crucified Jesus, who is the propitiation for your sins. He's the person who God placed all the charges that were rightly against you on. He's the person who, when you could never get your way to God, when you could never justify yourself, you could never, ever find a way to God, whether you were the wisest person on the world or you did all of the things in the world, you couldn't find your way to God. He had to find his way to you, and he found his way to you through the crucified Jesus. And so what he says is that you didn't, why are you acting like that it's such a, why are you like exalting Apollos, who's this fiery preacher, you know, this eloquent, you know, Superman guy? Or, you know who I think of when I think of Apollos is, you remember that video that we've shown over and over about King of Kings? You know, it's like, that's my king. You know what I mean? It's like it's eloquent and beautiful, and by the time he's done, you're just wanting to shout, you know? It's like, that's what I think about when I think of Apollos. It's like, or you got some country guy like me who just gets up here and just kind of opens a word and just, like, breaks it out. There's no points, no poems, no nothing, you know? I just, you know, it's just what I do. And then they've got these other guys, you know, that just got all the points and all the poems. Sometimes I went and listened to, I was listening to one guy, I don't know, some media thing. And I was like, man, what a homiletician. You know what I mean? Homiletics is the art of preaching, if you will. And man, he just said it in a way that you'll always remember it, you know? And I was like, wow, you know, kind of deal. And what you find yourself getting caught up into that. And what he's saying is, well, the message isn't his. It's just a message that he received that he's passing on to you. And by the way that he's passing it on to you isn't his. I mean, like, it's not us, man. It's Jesus. And so back to our metaphors. It's like God, you know, says, listen, hey, you know, I got 1,000 acres over here. And I've got all the seed. It's not your seed. Here's what I want you to do. Is I want you to sow it with a tractor that you didn't buy. You know what I mean? And I want you to do it because, you know, that seed I also planted in you and it brought you to life. And so I just want you to do that. And everything that you need, I'm going to fill it up every morning. I'm going to grease it every morning. Everything that you need is going to be provided for by me. Every morning when you get up, there'll be new mercies in your gas tank. Every day, I'll be your strength. I will provide for you all of your needs according to my riches. I'll be picking stuff out of my storehouse to put into your life today. It's all coming from me. So why do you think that if it all came from me, that you can boast as if you did something to receive it, right? I mean, it's like, I don't get that at all. It's like people, oh man, you know, oh boy, you've got this stuff figured out. No, I've got nothing figured out. God showed me some stuff and he showed you some stuff. So we have just got to quit disqualifying ourselves. If you're nothing and you have been saved by the gospel, you have a gospel to tell people. That's it. So tell it. And so, okay, back up to this this piece where he says about the steward. But go back to that couple verses prior to that where I told you that parenthetical note. And where he says, you know, I don't want none of you judges, you know, you don't judge me and I don't judge myself and all this kind of stuff. What he's essentially saying there, just I can briefly summarize that. It actually has a really good counseling piece in it, too, where let me give you a summary of what he's saying there. He's saying this. He's like, look, my job as a servant of Jesus is to be faithful to the gospel. For I determined to know nothing among you except. That's right. That's right. And my job as a faithful steward and a servant to the Lord Jesus who saved me is to be faithful to that message, that mystery, and to proclaim it in all the different ways that I can. That's my job, to be faithful to that. And by the way, it's not for you to judge whether or not I'm being faithful to that. So there's some people in the room, and we follow all these people who are constantly judging whether or not we're faithful to that. Right? And the deal is that you don't know how many times I've said, oh man, pick all the stuff that people say on social media. And Paul's saying, listen, I think I'm being faithful to the gospel. I think I'm being a steward to the gospel. You know, I'm not failing my own conscience in that regard, but I'm not the judge of me. It's Christ that's judging whether or not I'm being faithful to the gospel. And he'll tell me on that day whether or not I was. And by the way, you can't judge whether or not I'm being faithful to the gospel. Right? So, because you don't know my heart. That's what he's saying here. So, we're supposed to be stewards, and we're not supposed to be picking on each other. We're supposed to listen to the gospel and hear it from each other and hear how the gospel strengthens us and hear how it sets us straight in all these different areas of our life. And then he goes into as I'm studying these first four passages, I'm thinking Paul's kind of getting ticked as he's getting about in this part, because he gets a little snarky in this next part. He's like, you know, all these ego guys, you know what I mean? You know, we're all this, and, you know, we're following all these guys. And he's talking about their boasting. And he goes, listen, he goes, already you already have, he's talking in every single commentator says that he's just being ironic here or being kind of snarky, you know. And he's saying, yeah, already you're rich. Without us, you've become kings, right? They're all boasting about how they're big-time guys. They've got it all figured out, and, you know, they know who's supposed to be for who and all this kind of stuff. And he goes, and I wish you would reign so that we could share the rule with you. I think that God has exhibited us as apostles last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we've become a spectacle to the world. Listen, him and Apollos, he said, we're like a sideshow. We're like a sideshow. People have, like, treat us horrible. Not only to angels, but to men. They're all, like, going, like, what in the world's up with these guys? And he says, we're fools for Christ's sake. But and then he goes, but yeah, but you guys are wise. Y'all got it all figured out, is what he's saying there. We're weak, but you're strong. You know, you're held in honor, but we're in disrepute. And to the present hour, this is what he talks about. And now he's really talking about their situation. To the present hour, we're hungry and thirsty. We're poorly dressed. We're troubled, buffeted. We're homeless. We labor. We work with our own hands. When we're reviled, we bless. When we're persecuted, we endure. When we're slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. Paul's saying, listen, man, I'm just telling you, I haven't made any friends with this gospel. People think I'm a nut job. And he'll say again, you'll see this. He constantly talks about this, especially in 2 Corinthians. He talks about him being a fool for Christ and people treating him like he's a crazy guy. And he said, and I'm not saying this to make you guys ashamed. I'm not. But to admonish you as my beloved children. You guys are really missing the point. The gospel is the power of God, and I don't care how crazy people think you are when you're out talking about it. That's how God's going to save people. And if you have been loved by God and saved by him through that gospel, it needs to be on your heart and on your mind and in your mouth all the time and in your actions. The way that you represent it. And so he said, I'm not trying to make you ashamed. I'm just trying to show you, you know, that it doesn't matter if you are no one, if you're refuse, if you're an outcast, if you've got the gospel, you've got everything. And then he says, you have countless guides in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. I became your father in Jesus Christ through the gospel. And so I urge you to be an imitator of me. And what's his whole point for four chapters? Stay faithful to the gospel. Forget everything else. For the message of the cross, the power of the God, the sign of God, it's all Jesus Christ and it's all his gospel. And just stay faithful to that message. Dial it down as simple as you need it. Dial it down as simple as you need it. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Simple enough. That's why I sent Timothy, my beloved and faithful child, to remind you of my ways. We'll talk more about him being an imitator. I've run out of time like I'm apt to do. And he said, he basically gives them a warning, and says that I'm going to come to you in power. And then he says this in verse 20. He said, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." Next verse, right there. No, that was right. The kingdom of God doesn't consist in talk, but in power. And so here's what he's saying about that. This is the summary of this whole piece that he's been doing for the first four chapters. The message of Christ is the power of God. The kingdom of God consists in that power. Period. That's it. He hasn't said a single other thing than that. The message of the cross, the message of Christ, the gospel of Christ, Christ and him crucified, Christ is everything. Christ is your sanctification, your redemption. Christ is everything. Christ is your righteousness. It's all Christ. And you're His. And you're His. His message is your message. You didn't come up with it, and you're qualified. Go spread it. Because as a servant of His that's been saved by Him, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your mouth by proclaiming the gospel. That's it. And one of the things that Paul's going to teach us as we work through Corinthians is he's going to teach us how to apply the gospel to different areas. And you'll be blessed by that, because that is really how to help someone. That's how you get help in your own life. If you think about, I'm struggling in this one area, my marriage, for instance. Well, how do I apply the gospel to that? Well, okay, if you're a husband, let me just show you. Husbands, love your wives. How? Huh? Like Christ loved the church and what? Oh, the gospel. Oh, there it is. Husbands, you're having problems with your marriage? Love your wife like the gospel loved you. See there? That's it, right? It's like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. You know, I just feel like nobody loves me or likes me or accepts me or something. And well, really? The gospel says that you've been accepted by Jesus. He got killed so that you could be His brother. You know what I mean? Oh, well, that solves my acceptance problem. You know, and what I'm saying is that learn to apply the gospel to everything in your life. And that is where we'll begin picking up next week. He's going to take his first seedy church problem. Some dude's been sleeping with some dude's mother-in-law. And so we're going to see how the gospel deals with that problem as it relates to a group of believers. Lord, we love You. Your gospel's the thing. It's Your message. We received it from You. We've been brought to life with it by You. We've been given it to give away by You. We're just stewards of doing what You said, which is to plant and water. And so, Lord, we're just going to go plant and water. And we're going to plant and water because we have been planted and watered and sprung forth. You have been gracious to us. We're going to be gracious to others. You've been merciful to us. We're going to be merciful to others. You have saved us by Your grace. We're going to speak of Your salvation by grace. And learn how to apply the gospel in all of the practical areas of our life, so that the gospel truly becomes the message that frames the life of the believer, that frames our life. It literally becomes the linchpin by which everything else operates out of. It becomes the operating system, Lord. And I pray that You would teach it to our heart in that way so that the rest of our life flows out of it. In Jesus' name, amen.